I wanted to share tonight something I started thinking about a couple of days ago. And I'm going to read from James chapter 4. Just three or four verses, starting at verse 4. So I want to talk about grace and faith in tough times, in the time of trial. It says here in the scriptures, it says, James in verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, Jesus taught in his lessons, when he was with his disciples, that he can't serve two masters. And in that scripture, he was talking about sort of serving money or riches. You can't serve God and mammon. And you certainly can't serve God and serve the world. You know, if you're friends with the world, if you're in allegiance with the world, you're against God. That's what the scripture says. And if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. You know, the two don't mix. Although we live in the world, the Bible says we're not of the world. You know, they're not, the world and God aren't compatible. You know, they're two separate things. They're like, well, one's controlled by the devil, and one's righteousness. You know, God has on his side, and the two don't go together. But then he goes on in verse 5, he says this, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? You know, there's a couple of scriptures, the same verse, I want to read from a couple of other translations. In the New Living Translation, it says this, what do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? God's put his spirit within us. God longs, or that spirit within us longs for us be faithful to God. You know, talking about times of trial, testing times or tough times. You know, whenever we go through something hard, God wants us to be faithful to him. You know, and that spirit inside us, the Holy Spirit, is yearning or is so desirous that we make it. You know, we stay true to God. You know, the word uses here, it uses the word jealously. You know, the Spirit is so desirous that we stick with God and with him. Another translation, the Amplified, says this. It says, do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose? In that it says, the Spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us. And he yearns for the Spirit to be welcomed with a jealous love. You know, God is, he so wants us to make it, you know, he's, I'm trying to think what's the best word to use it. You know, when we're going through a tough time, you know, God is right there, right behind us, backing us up. He's right with us, inside us. But, you know, anything that we do, we've got his attention, particularly where faith is concerned. You know, he goes on in verse 6, he says this, he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You know, when we go through tough times, you know, he's, as I said, he's yearning for us to make it. He's looking for us to be faithful to him, to stay faithful. And to do that, he gives us more grace. You know, we've got his grace. We have his grace. You know, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But he gives more grace. You know, some of the other translations of the Bible say it a little bit differently. One of them, the New American Bible, says that he gives a greater grace, which is good. Yeah, this one says he gives us more grace. The New American says he gives us greater grace. The Amplified says he gives us more and more grace. And he tells us that's the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. You know, so there's, it seems to be built, trying to emphasize that there's more and more grace. You know, when we go through a tough time, God pours out more grace. There used to be a song, I was looking for it before I came out. I was hoping I had it in one of my books so I could at least read it out or sing it or something of that nature. But I couldn't find the words. But it goes along the lines, something like, he gives more grace when the burden grows greater. And when it gets tougher, he gives us more grace. And then in the chorus it says that, you know, his love has no limits. His grace is no measure. His power is no boundaries, none to man. You know, God gives more grace, greater grace, more and more grace to help me, to help enable us to overcome. And I want to look at the lives of the disciples, particularly Peter tonight. So we're going to see something in his life where God gave more grace. When the going got tough, God poured in his grace. But in the book of Acts, this is the in the book of Acts chapter 4. You'll know this story, what happened. There was a lame man sat at the temple gate. And Peter and John, as they were going up to pray at the temple, you know, they healed this man on the way up. You know, that got them into some bother with the authorities. Not so much that they did this good work, but because they started to preach, everybody was listening. People were wanting to know why this man was made whole. You know, Peter went on to say that it was through faith in the name of Jesus that made this man strong. And they began to preach that Jesus, that the authorities put Jesus to death. And that Jesus was raised to life again, and they were witnesses of it. And then they started teaching that you can't be saved in any other name other than the name of Jesus. And this is where the authorities started to get a little bit annoyed with them. And so what they did is they hauled them into before the council and threatened them that if they taught or spoke in the name of Jesus anymore, they'd be put in prison or something would happen to them. They'd punish them. And in chapter 4, verse 29, you know, the disciples gathered. They gathered to pray and listen, just seek God. And in their prayer, they said this, "Now, Lord, look on their threats." It's talking about the authorities. "And grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And it says in verse 31, it says, "When they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness." Then in verse 33 it says, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." And then it says this, it says, "And great grace was upon them all." See, they were going through a trial. They'd been threatened that if they preached anymore in Jesus' name, they'd be for the chop. You know, be put in prison, locked up, punished, maybe even put to death. You know, perhaps we're facing something similar in the nation today. You know, a lot of the government, the laws are being passed that, you know, it's making it very difficult for Christians to stand up and say, well, Jesus is the only way. They say we've got to be tolerant and, you know, we've got to consider other faiths, we've got to consider what other people believe. You know, and if we stand up and say what the Bible says, and we say, well, this is Bible, it doesn't seem to make any difference with them. You know, so a lot of people say, well, if that's the way it is, then we can't do this, we can't do that, and we'll give up. But when the going gets tough like this, and these people had it here, It says that God gave them great grace. He gives more grace, we read in James. A greater grace, more and more grace. And the Amplified tells us it's the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. You know, to meet the trial head on and all other trials, all other testings that we go through. In the New American Bible, it says this, in that verse 33, it says, with great power, well, it says, abundant grace was upon them all. An overflowing grace. It's almost as if God was just pouring it out while turning on the tap and leaving it running. An abundant grace, an overflow of grace. See, what Jesus promised us, Paul writes in the book of Romans. He promised us this in Romans 5, verse 20. It says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You know, when there's, wherever sin is, there's greater grace. Because we need grace to be saved. You know, grace is always greater than sin. You know, when we're facing a trial, there's greater grace, because grace is greater than the trial. You know, Paul knew that, because he writes in Corinthians, in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 12. I want to read this from the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says he got a messenger from Satan, a thorn in the flesh was given him, to rack and buffet and harass me. And that's what the devil does. He comes to rack us, to buffet us, and to harass us. Temptation and trial after trial. You know, these things don't come from God, they come from the enemy. And he says three times in verse 8, he says, I've called upon the Lord and besought him about this, and begged that it might depart from me. You know, three times he says, I went before God, I prayed to the Lord, I begged him that this thing will go from me. It says in verse 9, he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It's sufficient against any danger, and it enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. You know, his grace is enough. It's sufficient for any danger, enables us to bear the trouble manfully. You know, the grace. He gives more grace, greater grace. More and more grace in times of trial, in times of need. You know, we also have a promise in the scripture. And I want to read this promise and then go to look at the life of Peter. Because I hadn't thought about some of these other scriptures until today, because the Lord brought them to my memory. It was Peter I was thinking of, been thinking about this last couple of days. But in Corinthians, we have this promise, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And it says this, for no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he always provides the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful and bear up under it patiently. And that's the Amplified translation, but in the King James, It says that no temptation. Let me read it so I get it exactly as it says. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. And here's something we need to learn. When it comes to temptations, when it comes to trials, when it comes to tests, tough times, God won't let us go through something which is beyond that which we can cope with. You know, God doesn't send the trials, He doesn't send the temptations, He doesn't give us all the problems. He might allow them to come into our lives, but whatever comes, we can bear it, we can cope with it. We have that promise. Because if we couldn't cope with it, God wouldn't allow it. So we say, well, it's really hard, and we don't know whether we can, because if we couldn't cope with it, God wouldn't allow it. And we need to grasp onto that, hold on to that. That no temptation has overtaken us, except such as is common to man. But it says here, it says, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. You know, in the time of trial, God is faithful. And He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. But then it says, "But with the temptation, He will also make the way of escape. He'll give us the way out so that we can bear it. And that He gives us His grace. His grace is sufficient for every trial. His grace is sufficient for every test. You know, every temptation, we have His grace. Now let's look at Peter. You know, Peter, that great apostle, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 31, and Jesus said, he's talking to Peter, he turns to look at Peter. He says, Simon, that was Peter's name, Simon, his name was Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Every one of the disciples was about to face a great trial, a great test, because Jesus was about to be arrested. And they didn't know, they wasn't expecting it, they didn't know what was coming. Well, Jesus knew, and He knew that He was facing the cross. But we read in other scriptures that after Jesus had been crucified, you know, while He was in the tomb, before He was raised to life, that they hid themselves away for fear. And they didn't know, they didn't know what was happening. They almost as if God had pulled the rug out from under their feet. That's how they felt. That God had left them, God had allowed Jesus to be crucified. But perhaps they hadn't realized, they didn't realize quite then that that was all part of God's plan so that we could be saved. And so they were going to face a tough time, a few days of really not knowing what had hit them. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Simon, he says, Satan's asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, Satan wants to test you. He wants to sift you. He wants to treat you or to thresh you like they used to thresh wheat at the threshing floor. You know, really beat you up. That's really what he was saying. You know, Satan's going to do everything he can to get you, Peter. A great trial was about to rock Peter's butt. Now, Peter was, he was a man that I heard somebody once say, talking about Peter, they called him Pete the Big Fee. Because Peter had this tendency to, we put it like this, today we'd say something like, he put his mouth into motion before he got his brain into gear. He spoke before he thought about what he was saying. Quite a few times. And sometimes it, when he realized what he'd said, you know, he had, remember the time he said to Jesus, look, he says, well, Lord, if it's really you on the water, he says, will you tell me to come and walk on the water with you? Well, what's Jesus going to say? He's going to say, no, it's not me. Stay in the boat. So he said, okay, then he says, come on. And before Peter realized what happened, he said, oh, he had to step out of the boat and walk on the water. But he did it. And there are other occasions. You know, this is one occasion where Peter opens his mouth and he says something before he really realizes what he said. Jesus said to him, look, he says, Satan's asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you've returned to me, you strengthen the brethren. Then Peter says, Lord, he says, hey, that's not going to happen. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you. And then Peter hears these words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. He says, yeah, okay, Peter. He says, I tell you this, before the night's out, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And then less than 2 hours later, we see Peter. So he's swearing and cursing and saying that he has no idea who Jesus is. He's never met the man, he doesn't know him. And this was to a little girl who was warming her hands around the fire. You know, just a couple of hours later, and he says in the later on in the scriptures here, says that he realized what had happened and he went out and wept bitterly. You know, he was about to go through a trial. Not only the trial of having Jesus arrested, but now he's denied knowing the Lord. You know, what's the thing that's done inside his heart? Oh, I've let God down, denied him. I haven't been, and that's, remember, that's what the scripture said. You know, when we're going through the time of trial, God is yearning for us to be faithful to him. He's looking for us to stay true to him. But what about Peter here? You know, he should have, well, I think he perhaps he did. Because there was another man that went through another trial at the same time as Peter, and his name was Judas. Judas had betrayed the Lord. He'd almost like signed his death warrant. He'd gone to the chief priest, he'd agreed to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And he went into the garden where they were and he kissed Jesus and they arrested Jesus and then they crucified him. Judas, that was his trial. And in both cases, grace was given to these two men. Grace was given to Peter and grace was given to Judas. But Judas couldn't receive that. And it says he went out and killed himself because he was so remorseful for what he'd done, so sorry. Couldn't live with his knowing that he sent Jesus to the cross or he betrayed him. But Peter, he betrayed Jesus. He'd said to this little girl and others, no, I don't know him. But he didn't go out and kill himself. You know, grace was at work in his life. And we see later on that he came back to the Lord and then he became chief apostle and head of the church and sort of head minister, head pastor amongst all the churches there, chief apostle. You know, God did something good in his life. And what I'm sure Peter had in his heart was the words of Jesus here. And these are beautiful words, and this is where we're finished tonight. Talking about grace and faith. He says, Simon says, Satan's asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Or Satan's asked that he might attack you, that he might tempt you, he might test you. And here Jesus says, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. I've prayed. I love those words, that word but there. I thought about that today. You know, whenever we use the word but, and normally when we use the word but, it's, Lord, but I can't do that. But this problem, but that thing. Well, we use but to say something like, to doubt or to justify that we can't believe God for something. But you don't know what I'm like. You know, you don't know what, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, yes, how we use the word but. Whenever we have but in our sentences, it's normally because we're trying to say, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. But here, where Jesus uses but, it always encourages us. It always lifts us up. He says, Simon, he says, Satan's asked for you. He says, but I've prayed. I've prayed for you, but I've prayed. You know, but I. Another scripture says this in the Psalms, in Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, but, that word but again, but the Lord delivers him from them all. You know, whatever we go through, a time of trial, a testing time, a tough time, we've got greater grace. We've got God's grace poured out in an innumerable measure. Amen. More and more grace to allow us to meet the trial head on. And God will, He makes that way of escape for us. Simon, Satan's after you, but I've prayed that your faith should not fail. You know, we've got a God that, if I can use this and don't, just think about what I'm going to say. You know, when we go through testing times, really God's got faith in us. That's why He gives us His grace. God's got faith in us that we'll overcome, that we'll come through. And all He wants us to do is to be faithful to Him. You know, be faithful. That's what the Spirit's yearning for us to be faithful. In times of trial, we've got all we need. We've got God's grace. And we've got faith. Now that sees us through. It's our faith that overcomes the world. It's our faith that overcomes the testing, the trials. So when Satan comes to sift us, to test us, we've got a big brother in heaven who's praying for us. Know that our faith won't fail. So let's be encouraged tonight and be blessed. And we serve a good God, faithful God. That's what the scripture says, God is faithful. And He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, what we're able. But with the temptation, with the testing time, there's a way of escape. His grace and faith in our lives. Amen.